morning. Welcome. Happy Easter. The Foreign Mission Collection is April 14th. That's a little bit away, a little ways away, but there's a ladies' meeting 1 p.m. Saturday, April 6th. So the last two songs are back to back. And it's just a general. Is it Tom?
Yeah, it's special.
No, but the mom's wondering, the collection today, it's not special. There's nothing special about that. Didn't think so. Okay, so Rafi will read the psalm, and prayer. And Tom will do the prayer in the sermon. Are there any prayer requests? Or other announcements? Okay, we'll begin.
Psalm 118, verse 15 to 29. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteousness shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Thank you. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Dear merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another day of grace. Father, we thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you for He is risen. We thank you that it is finished. We thank you that we can rest. Rest on the work of the cross. Rest on the resurrection of life. Rest on the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells all believers to guide and direct them, to instruct them, to give them wisdom, knowledge, and power in the Holy Spirit. To understand that what He did for us and is doing for us is eternal. To understand that we are sealed until the day of redemption. To understand that He is the mercy seat. To understand that He is our all in all. Father, we come to you this morning. For like the psalmist says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Father, we ask that you would give us a life in the risen Christ. A life that is protected. A life that is secure. A life that is encompassed in His Word. A life that is surrounded by the saints. A life that is lifted up. A life that is joyful. A life that is at peace. A life that is fulfilled in Him. A life that is merciful. A life that is gracious. A life that the wrath has been appeased. Father, we thank you for the overcomer, Jesus Christ, the one who has paid it all, the one who shed His blood, the one who is the bread of life, the one who is sustainer. Our bridegroom. And we are the bride. Thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world to become the bride of a beautiful bridegroom. Thank you for your Son who has paid a cost. We are purchased with a price. And it is finished, and we can be glad in it. Thank you, Father, for this eternal word. And thank you for the saints that are here. Father, we ask that you would bless this day, this holy day. We ask that you would give us the ability to lift it up in love, lift it up in fear. Lifted up in knowledge of Him who came to suffer, but mostly He came to live a life in believers. He came to guide those believers. He came to conform those believers into His Son. And He came to give us life eternal. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for everyone here. We ask that you would put a special blessing on the ones who cannot partake of an Easter service for whatever reason, health or whatever it is that takes them away. Be with them. Direct them and guide them. Instill in them that it is finished. Instill in them that we have hope in Christ, eternal life in Christ. He has prepared a home for us. The Spirit that dwells in the hearts of believers. Help those people that are lonely. Give them confidence in your word. Give them comfort. Surround them with hope. Surround them with your love. Father, we thank you for being able to worship you in a free building, in a free country. Give us the ability to do that in spirit and in truth. Give us the ability to open up your word so that it may glorify you in this kingdom. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see only you on this day. And Father, we thank you for that perfect prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue.
Heal and forgive.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his indwelling spirit be granted unto you on this holy day. Amen. We will look into the book of Matthew, so we can turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew. Last chapter. Actually, the twenty-eighth chapter, and we'll read the entire chapter from verses 1 to 20. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. But before we do that, I'm going to read a few verses in John. Just to capture what it means by he is risen. And it's in chapter 6, just 8 verses 32 to 40. We'll read that and then go into the text. So this is chapter 6 of John, 32 to 40. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. We'll go to the text. So this is kind of the purpose which he came and the direction which the Father gave the Son. So Matthew chapter 28. Read it in Jesus' name. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall see they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So we have here the end of the Sabbath. And it's early in the morning and it's dawn. First day of the week. Mary and the other Mary come to the sepulcher. Now we understand that this is Mary and the other Mary. There's a lot of Marys going around. A lot. And I just want to, sometimes it's confusing, so I believe this is Mary, the other Mary. I believe this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says it's Mary, the mother of James, and there's reason why it says the Mary, the mother of James, and it says James the less, so there is confusion, because sometimes we confuse, or I confuse, I should say, the time where they're at the cross to the time where they're at the sepulcher. So we'll just go to clear up some of the cross part. If you read John, in John chapter 19, verse 25, we'll find that verse. And this is at the cross. And it is confusing, and I hope to not make it more confusing, but I'll read it. Now we have the 25th verse of John 19. Now, this is at the cross. Now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother. So Jesus' mother, Mary, and his mother's sister. So some people think this is Salome. Some people think it's another Mary. So they have two daughters named Mary. It doesn't make sense, but there's some confusion to this. So we have Jesus, his mother, Mary, and then his mother's sister, his aunt, and Mary, the wife of Cleophas. And Mary Magdalene. So we have Jesus' mother, Jesus' aunt. Some people think that's Salome. There's also Jesus with Joanna. Then you have Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And this is at the cross. So the scene is at the cross here. So no, we're not looking at the cross scene, but my thoughts are this. The Marys are talking to each other. There's a good chance there's more than just Mary and Mary Magdalene at the sepulcher. There's probably Mary, the mother of Martha. There's probably more people here. And there's definitely Joanna, because it says that in the other text. So we're just going to go with this text, but at the same time, understand that there's ladies at the cross, and there's a reason why there's ladies at the cross. So we go back to our text. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary they went to the sepulchre early in the morning. What was the reason why they went there? Well, they had to bring spices, right? And it'll say that, and we'll go through that. But, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. So there's obviously a great happening here. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat upon the stone. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. So what does that look like? In Luke 17:24, speaking of Christ, this is speaking of an angel. It says, "For as the lightning that lighteth up out of one part of heaven, under heaven, shineth unto the other part of heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day." So it's giving an example of Christ there. So we have here an angel, his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And then you have, "And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men." So the guards. The punishment would have been if Jesus is escaped, the punishment for the guards would have been death. That would have been the punishment. So they were afraid and they became as dead men because this thing happened, this angel came down. But the angel said something to the women. And the angel said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And lo, quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you so." So here is the happening the first day of the week. We have Mary Magdalene. We have the other Mary, which I think is Jesus' mother. And we have the soldiers as dead men. We have an angel. His countenance was lightning. His raiment was as white as snow. We also have in Isaiah 1 verses 18, it says, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So we have a lot of different thoughts here going on. So let's try to simplify it. If we go into Mark, he gives us Mark chapter 16, he gives us a little bit more information. We read a couple of verses there, Mark 16. Verses 9 to 11. When Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Okay, now we know something else. Mary Magdalene had cast seven devils, Mary Magdalene had seven devils cast out of her by Jesus. And she went and told him that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. So we have this account. Then if you go into Luke chapter 24, you get a little bit more information. That was the first day of the week. This is the first verse. We'll read till 9. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered it, and found not the body of Jesus, the Lord of Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Again, the two angels. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and all the rest." So we have this account in Luke. And then if you read the account in John, you get more information. John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "The first day of the week cameth Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." And if you read down, it's talking about Peter and John, and they kind of get erased, and who beat who to the sepulchre. We're going to ignore that part, but it goes into Jesus, Mary Magdalene on the 11th verse. But before we go there, we'll just go to when it says the 8th verse, the 8th verse of the 20th of John, it says, "Then went in also that other disciple, which is John, which came first to the sepulchre," because he beat Peter in the race to get to the sepulchre, "and he saw and believed." What did he believe? That's the question. Because the next verse says, in the 9th verse, says, "For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead." So what was he believing? That's the question. And then it says, "Then the disciples went away again unto their own home." Mary knew something. Disciples weren't as confident. Mary knew that Jesus was to raise from the dead. She was concerned about the body of Jesus because she had to put spices on it. It says there, but Mary, the 11th verse in 20 of John says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Two angels, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. We look at the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles. Chapter 13, verse 6. It is a striking thing that she sees. We have a celebration here with David. Chapter 13, verse 6. "And David went up to all of Israel and to Bala, that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it, two cherubims. And they carried the ark of God into the new cart of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart, and David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and psalteries, and timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets." They were celebrating. Why were they celebrating? Because they had brought the Ark of the Covenant. Why is the Ark of the Covenant important? Because it's a symbol of this New Testament, of what's happening here. And where is that? That's in Exodus chapter 25. And we get a picture of the Old Testament. Chapter 25, verses 17 to 22. We have here the beautiful picture. And it says, "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make two cherubims of gold, of beaten work shall thou make them in the two ends of the mercy seat. One on the head, one on the feet." Two angels on the Ark of the Covenant. "And the cherubims will shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to the other toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be." They're looking towards each other, one at the head, one at the feet. "And thou shalt put a mercy seat above upon the ark, and the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet thee with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat and between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel." We have the Ark of the Covenant. We have the two cherubims, one at the head, one at the feet, looking towards the mercy seat. What's in the Ark of the Covenant? The golden pot with manna, the bread of life. Aaron's rod that budded, that produced miracles. Two tablets of the law. And the center of the mercy seat was where God dwelt. What do we have in the New Testament? What is she seeing here? Two angels sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been laid. And they said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She saith unto them, "Because they have taken my Lord, and I know not where he had laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and my God, and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, and she had seen the Lord, that they had spoken these things to her. So you have Mary looking. Jesus is not there. She sees the angel at the head, at the feet. What's in the middle? Christ, the mercy seat. I am the bread of life. I am the one that does the miracles. I am the one that fulfilled the law. You have a picture of the Old Testament covenant, of the Ark of the Covenant. You have the New Testament figure of Christ being the mercy seat, the Holy Spirit that indwells all believers. Mary is seeing this happen before her eyes. And I don't know if John really saw this, because it says in that ninth verse of 20, "For as they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead." But Mary knew something that they didn't. She saw this. We go back to the text. And it says, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word." So they're going back to tell the disciples about that they seen, that these ladies had seen Christ. "And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail." So as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Why did they hold him by the feet and worship him? I don't know. But we worship our Savior on our knees. He is our Lord. And then Jesus said unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." And then we have the, from 11 to 15, we have the, what would you call it? The tale. The non-truth. Why even spend the time from 11 to 15? The story that was told to the soldiers. Just, you know, "We're going to give you a bunch of money. Just tell them that you slept," and the disciples took him away. Right? The untruth. And to this day, some Jews believe that. What does that tell us? It tells us here the truth. What's in Scripture is truth. The Word is truth. History is not truth. And the history books, they might have changed the truth. When we look at our history books and what has been told, it's not necessarily the truth. The Bible, the Word, is the truth. Our history books has been influenced. Because if you go by the history books, you might fall into the category of believing that the disciples actually took them away and stole them. Because that's what the world would say is the truth. That's not the truth. So we have to be careful as readers of the Word, that we read the Word, understand the Word, discern the Word according to the Holy Spirit, and look at any other written word that's not biblical, that's not in the Bible, and pause there and say, is that actually how it happened? Or is it maybe I should be a little bit skeptical of that? And that's basically what I'm seeing from 11 to 15. That's why I'm not spending a lot of time on it. And then we have the rest of the chapter, 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The essentials. He is risen. What are we supposed to do? Well, we have to have confidence in what the Word says. We have to have the armor of God, the whole armor of God, so that we are able to proclaim the whole counsel of God to the world. So, what does the 19th verse say? It says the Trinity. There's a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Ghost. Baptizing them in the name of those things. What baptism are we saved by? The baptism which Jesus gives. The baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand the Trinity. There is a God, the Father. There is a Jesus, the Son. And there is a Holy Ghost. And there are three in one. John 13, 34 and 35 I've already spoken on. Speaks of love. 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. It gives us admonition to do certain things. So if we go there, 2 Timothy 4, 1 verses 1 and 2. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come and judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsufferings and doctoring. That's part of the priesthood. That's part of us. That's part of the bride of Christ. That's what we do. We preach the word. When it is convenient and when it is not convenient. We reprove, we rebuke, we exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, with patience, and know the doctrines of Christ. James 5, verses 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your faults, your sins, one to another, and pray for one another. So confession and prayer that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus is righteous. We are righteous because we have received his imputed righteousness on the cross. And he has received our sin, which was put on his cross of Calvary on the Good Friday. And it was shed and imputed into his flesh, and it died there. So we confess. So what do we have first? First, we have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. We have love. We have preach. We have confess. Mark 16:15 again is reaffirming the gospel. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What do we wrestle? Not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against each other. We wrestle against principalities, powers, influences that are not godly. Powers of this world, powers of the devil, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And if you move further down, you'll see we have the armor of God to protect us and to fight those during that wrestling. What also do we have? We have Jacob, our forefather, who needed a blessing. He needed to receive a blessing. And who did he wrestle with? He wrestled with God. He said, God says, you got to let me go. I'm not going to let you go until I hear the blessing. What is the blessing? You are his. What does that mean? You're part of the bride. You've received the blessing. You are part of the bride. You will be married to the bridegroom. He will take you home. God is presenting his bride, his chosen, for his son. A beautiful bride. He will make them holy, blameless, and he'll present him to the bridegroom, who is beautiful. Why? Because God is a loving God, and he wants to give his son a bride that stands. A bride that is holy, beautiful. And because he's the author and finisher of faith, he will present that bride to stand. So who are we wrestling with? We wrestle with, we war against principalities and powers. Jacob wrestled with God. We have received the blessing of Christ through the cross. The blessing of salvation. Blessing of rest. So now what do? There's a warfare. We fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou art also called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight. So we fight. So what are we doing? God is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. We believe in the Trinity. We are taught to love. We are taught to preach. We are taught to profess, confess. We're taught to teach and preach the gospel. We fight against not ourselves. We don't fight against the bride. We war against ideologies that are against the Bible. We listen to what the Word says. We fight the good fight. That's the battle. And how do we do that? We do that at rest. We rest because it is finished. Hebrews 4:10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also ceased from all his works, as God did from his. The seventh day, God rested from all his work. We rest from all our work. It is finished. We're resting in the work of the cross. What he did, what he is doing, and what he will do. We rest in that. How do we rest in that? We believe in the Trinity. We love, we preach, we confess, we proclaim the gospel. We know who we wrestle with, and we fight the good fight. And most people will look at that and say, that doesn't seem like a lot of resting. But we already know we're at rest. Our job is to do the seven, but we're at rest because he's done it all on the cross. It doesn't mean we don't go out and do anything. It means we are doing these things. But we are at rest because we are complete in him. We are at rest because he has finished the work. We are at rest because it is finished. But we are doing things because he's commanded it. We don't do it to get rest. We are at rest, and it encourages us to do it. Because what happens is, if we do it and we're not at rest, we build on the cross. And when we build on the cross, we've taken away from the cross what he has built. So it's good to look at the seven things that God the potter is molding us to do, knowing that we rest in what he has done. He is risen. So we can rest. But we have work to do. But it's restful work because he is finished. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's close in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you. On the day that he is risen, we come to you where we have a rest. We know it is complete. We know it is finished. We know it is done. But we know that there are some maybe that have not been born, that are chosen before the foundation of the world. So we have work to do. We know that the God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit is working in us. We know what we are to preach the gospel. We know what to wrestle with. We know to fight the good fight of faith. We understand and believe that we have a purpose in this world to do what you have asked us to do, because there are still saints. You are still adding faces to the bride. You're still building that bride, beautiful faces of children chosen before the foundation of the world, to make that bride even more and more beautiful. And we are united to that bride. Father, help us as we are in the season of rest and as we continuously work to glorify you through that Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Let's close with the two hymns.